In the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep, through the jungle of down, to the river so deep. I know I'm searching for something, something so undefined.
Oh, it is nice and sunny already. Lots of blue sky. And man, I love this time of the year. It's not even officially summer, but it certainly is feeling it here as the warmer weather has come on pretty strong here. It's going to touch into the 30s this weekend. As I was driving to work, I was coming down Sass Drive, and city crews are out either painting lines or repainting crosswalks. I've noticed that a lot around the city right now. So they must be pretty much over the pothole patrol. Not entirely. There are still some bad ones out there, but for the most part, it looks like the pothole patrol is over with. They're painting lines now, street sweeping out of the way. So spray pads have opened up. Should open up the pools this weekend. It's going to be 30 degrees. A lot of kids would probably appreciate that, I bet, too. But throughout the morning, we are going to be updating you on that, devastating fires. More than one in northern Saskatchewan. Now a wildfire in Creighton, Saskatchewan is jumped the border into Manitoba. That's forced Flin Flon, Manitoba, into being prepared for evacuation. In fact, hospital patients are already being evacuated out of there, and that could be about 6,000 people, give or take, looking for shelter. Residents of Flin Flon and Creighton have been told to leave town because they fear the fire could move closer today, and that would cut the roads outside of town. So they're hauling out as soon as they can. Locals like Tara told us that's her concern. So she's going to head out as fast as she can and take as much as she can.
I have 7 Rubbermaid bins in the back of my truck, the kids' baby blankets and baby clothes and photos. Just loaded up clothes, toiletries, my safe that has like passports, birth certificates, the dogs, dog food, and that was pretty much it.
Tara's from Creighton admits she's never seen anything like this before.
I've been here since 99 and I've never had to evacuate. It's starting to hit me now, and I started kind of having anxiety because it's like I've never had to leave my home and leave my stuff like that before. It kind of hit me, right? That it was like, oh, we have to actually leave.
Yeah. I can't imagine, you know, she was mentioning some of the stuff she was taking in those rubber totes. Like, to have to make a list of what you think is important and what is not and leave it behind. Wow. That would be tough. Candle Lake, the resort village northeast of Prince Albert, is under voluntary evacuation right now, and that area has been granted permission for the fire break that they were all hoping for. Well, a lot of local farmers and those living nearby had already taken it upon themselves in the last few days to do what they could in making one anyhow, but now it is officially being built, a buffer, if you will, around the resort. The resort area is asking folks to leave if possible, especially seniors, families with kids, and those with medical needs. The village says the goal is to reduce the number of people who will need to leave in the event of a real evacuation of Candle Lake. But at this point, they're asking folks, don't come unless you have to. You can briefly stop in to inspect your property or move your belongings. That's okay right now. But in fact, that's what Greg White from Saskatoon was doing when we caught up with him yesterday. He owns a cabin that he calls the family second home away from home. And he's there getting valuables in order to haul away just in case.
I have confidence that our firefighters will do their thing. But in the event that something goes wrong, I'm taking stuff away.
He's seen a few fellow cabin owners doing the same, and there are others who just say they're going to let it roll, be cautious.
Some are taking stuff away, and others are choosing to believe that everything will be okay. I'm just not taking the risk.
Earlier this week, 2 fires merged, and that's what's threatening the area right now as it burns about 20 clicks to the east of Candle Lake. And again, thinking about being that close, and you probably can look in the distance there, see the smoke, maybe the orange glow of the fire in the distance. You think, man, that's getting close. But not close enough yet. Trying to decide what to do, like Greg there, to haul some stuff out just in case or risk it all and just roll the dice. I think I'd haul as much as Greg is doing there. But again, there's been a steady stream of trucks and trailers with people hauling their valuables out just in case. And of course, many getting their boats out of there too. Some people up there have cabins that have been in the family generationally, and they're trying to do what they can to save them by setting up sprinklers on rooftops just in case, like Michelle Matlock. She lives there in Candle Lake.
We're just going to wait and hope and pray that we get some rain and the winds go the right way. We're planning on putting sprinklers on the roof and, I don't know, doing whatever we can, I guess, to try and save it and just actually, you know, hoping everybody just stays safe. And
yeah, she's taking steps there to pack up as much as she can that's meaningful in order to be ready just in case of evacuation. So, hey, the Red Cross has set up temporary shelters in PA, Regina, Saskatoon, and now even Alberta, west of us too, dealing with a massive wildfire season. Right now they have about 40 active wildfires, and there are heat warnings everywhere across Alberta. Well, great weather for track and field. A lot of elementary and high schools are experiencing track meets this weekend into next as well. And long jump, high jump, I sucked at both of those. I hated both of those categories, but loved doing the track meet. That was always a fun one. Wasn't the fastest, but I could hold my own. Rider training camp is over with now, and this is it. Tomorrow night, the last chance for Rider hopefuls to show coaches what they can do. It's the final preseason game before cutdown day on Saturday. And we spoke to defensive end and former Denver Bronco, Aaron Patrick, who's looking to crack the roster. He wants to excel in one thing.
You do whatever you have to do out there on the field to let that thing be so great that it helps the team in a way they couldn't imagine. So I hope to get out there, whether it's special teams or defense or whatever, I want to get out there and be able to help the team.
He will try tomorrow night against Winnipeg, 7 o'clock start. Green Zone pregame show is on at 5 o'clock. A new parliament is in session. It was Mark Carney's first question period yesterday, and immediately Conservative House Leader Andrew Scheer was ready to confront Mr. Carney.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I would like to welcome the Prime Minister to his first official question period. This is where democracy lives, and this is where we provide rigorous scrutiny on every word he says and every dollar he spends on behalf of Canadians.
Could you also indulge me to say how great it is to see you in the Speaker's chair, and I trust that you're operating under the period of grace that will not be accorded to me appropriately.
Someone yelled time there to kind of throw him off, and they like to echo one another. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of that. Outside of question period stood Pierre Poilievre, the leader of the Conservatives, but not in the House of Commons. He lost his seat in the last election, and his response not being inside.
How does it feel not being in the House of Commons today?
I don't like it. I'd love to be in there. It's a great place. I love the House of Commons. I love the excitement and the thrill, and I've never really been a spectator.
Well, he's going to have to be, at least probably till the fall. That Alberta by-election that he hopes to win and should win in Alberta is likely not to occur till fall, and the government is telling us they're going to be probably 6 days of debate on the throne speech. Then sometime in that period, they'll be looking at debating on the affordability measure or tax cut, if you will, also looking at legislation that they've been going to introduce to take away all the federal barriers that stand in the way of interprovincial trade. And the Prime Minister has promised that would be done by Canada Day. So lots to happen if that's the case. Let's move to the Stanley Cup. One half of the Stanley Cup final has been decided.
It's out of the box. Empty net scores. And the Panthers bench starts celebrating as they can feel their return trip to the Stanley Cup final.
Well, that's just about going to do it. 53.4 seconds left, and it's not like Carolina didn't have plenty of opportunity to tie this up.
Yeah, they went ahead 2-0 early in the first, but then the Panthers came on strong. Final 5-3. Florida moves on for its third straight championship series. So who will it be from the West? Well, I hope and expect it's going to be the Oilers. If they win tonight, they advance. They're up 3-1 on Dallas. However, gone is Zach Hyman, right? The man who's been crushing the most hits for the club will miss the rest of the playoffs. Arm injury. He had surgery yesterday. And if the Oil do win tonight, the Stanley Cup starts next Wednesday. But if they don't, well, we know for sure the Stanley Cup wouldn't start till June 7th, a week from Saturday.
I'll be where the eagles fly higher and higher. Gonna be a man in motion.
Well, we got up to 26 degrees yesterday. Today, we should hit 27. Man, yesterday I went for a long bike ride, and there's hardly any wind, and it was pretty warm. It's getting to be a nice glow here the next few days, and certainly I saw, as I went by one of the spray pads there by the Leisure Center, it was pretty jammed with little ones. Spray pads are open. They haven't opened up the pools here locally, but they may want to in time for the weekend. They're not scheduled to, but it's going up to 30 on the weekend. But we are monitoring the wildfire situation up north. It has been a steady stream of boats, trailers, and campers fleeing the Candle Lake area. A voluntary fire evacuation is underway, and at this point, they're asking folks to not actually go to the lake unless you're going there because you have a cabin and you can briefly stop to inspect your property and get some belongings out. The Shoe Fire is now like 10 times the size of Saskatoon. The Red Cross is setting up temporary shelters in PA, Regina, Saskatoon. Apparently, Alaska and Quebec have been lending aerial support to our firefighters up north so far, and our public safety agency admits resources are stretched pretty thin right now. And for that reason, it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe an emergency room where doctors are having to decide who gets care first. Obviously, whoever needs it the most gets it first. And that's the situation up north as they're stretched pretty thin with all the needs to fight fires. But thanks to Alaska and Quebec getting help there. Manitoba has declared a state of emergency as wildfires are now threatening some 17,000 people there. And Manitoba Premier Wab Kanu.
The military is being called for help here because of the sheer scale of these 17,000 folks that we need to move relatively quickly. We're talking about hours instead of days to move this amount of people.
Manitoba Premier says Prime Minister Mark Carney has agreed to the request to send in the military. It's at risk right now are numerous First Nations and some smaller towns in the north, but most notably Flin Flon. And, of course, nearby Creighton, Saskatchewan, which that's the reason why it kind of the fire kind of jumped the border there. And now we're in the situation we are. Even Alberta was looking west of us. They're dealing in Alberta with a massive wildfire season already themselves. Right now, they have got about 40 active wildfires and heat warnings now. I talked about it getting to 30 degrees by Sunday. That's some of the heat coming in Alberta. But it is already in the 30s in many areas there, and it's hot and dry. So that's the situation from wildfires. We'll continually update. If you want to see photos of what people are experiencing, head to cjme.com. Oh, it's on, particularly this weekend, soaring up to 29, 30 degrees. And Ryder preseason game tomorrow night at Mosaic. Football is back. And sure, it's only preseason, but hey, it's a night out of the ballpark. It should feel pretty darn nice. And it's going to be shorts weather from the next 3 or 4 days in a row here. Hot, hot weather, no rain in sight. That would be welcome, obviously, to fight fires and on the farm, but nothing just yet. And they're not getting anything as far as rain goes north either, where those wildfires are. The Candle Lake Golf Resort, we heard from Ron Sawinski. He works there at the pro shop. He's unsure himself on whether or not anyone should swing by.
We live up here full time, so we've got our bags packed and vehicles pointed in the right direction, and if we get the word, we'll be out of here.
He's all about being prepared, understands how serious it is. Sawinski said they're dealing with the uncertainty of that creeping Shoe Fire, and it's causing a lot of folks in the Candle Lake area to at least get their valuables ready to haul out. Some have done so, or else they're just going to get ready, and when they said, okay, it's time, then they would be prepared for that. But it's a scary situation to be in. We're monitoring that, and we'll be with you throughout the day. And, of course, at cjme.com as well. I want to take you over to the Real District, where it's probably one of the busiest weekends. It's kind of like a Grey Cup weekend at the Real District. You know, given that Grey Cup, there would be all the parties and just so much happening. It really is going to be one of the worst times to ever look for a parking spot in the Real District. And here's why. We got the preseason football game tomorrow, but last night they had the opening ceremonies for what they're calling the Skills Canada National Competition. And that's welcoming visitors from coast to coast, more than 500 of Canada's best students, plus apprentices, family, and friends are all coming here as they're going to showcase their skills across something like 40 different skilled trade and technology competitions. So to give you a little better understanding of this, I've got Jacob Murphy. He's like 20 years old. He's driven here from Melfort. He's competed before, hopes to medal here in Regina. Welcome to the show, buddy. It's nice to have you here. So what's this show going to do for you?
I was at the national competition last year and won gold there last year. And I'm thrilled to be back and go for gold again.
How does this competition work? Like, what's going to happen for you?
So I have an idea of the format. Each competition is between 3 and 4 hours long, and then there's four competitions. We're not shown any of our competition details until at the start time. So
what's your skill?
My skill is mechanical engineering CAD.
Okay, and if anyone is wondering what the heck that is?
We take like engineering principles and theory, and then with the help of computer design, we use that to help solve problems.
And so that might be what you presented at the competition. They might ask you to create something that's innovative. They're worried about that it meets the criteria they set out. It's cost, it's ease of production. That's what they're looking for you to do. Is it in a matter of hours, a day, or 2 days? How much time do you get to do this?
Each competition will be somewhere between 3 and 4 hours. It kind of depends on how much detail is involved with it. It's like what a engineering technologist would do day to day, but just with a really tight deadline and a little more pressure.
All your friends and family in Melfort, I bet they're happy for you, but do they kind of think you're a geek going to some geek weekend?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, there's trades involved at the event too, but yeah. I always think of this as the Nerd Olympics.
There's more than pride on the line. What could this do if you won the competition?
Yeah, so this year's actually a World Skills qualifying year. So every other year, World Skills has a competition. And then if I win again this year, I'll be able to represent Team Canada and compete in China in 2026.
Your friends may not call you a nerd if that happened.
They still will.
Okay. At least you're a good sport about it. Well, this is a major competition. Yeah. There are people from all over Canada, over 500 of Canada's best students. You're one of 500. That's amazing. What does that make you feel like?
There's definitely a sense of pride that comes with that. Yeah, just very fortunate to be in the position I am, and I'm excited to compete again. Networking is a big part of the event, too, getting to meet people that are like-minded. And
yeah, for sure. I'm glad you're in Regina, and thanks for enlightening us quickly about what it is that's going on at the competition. All we know is that we can't find hotel rooms in our city right now because so many people from all of Canada are here. We appreciate it. I hope all of Melfort back home is proud of you.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
Congratulations. Enjoy the competition.
All righty. Thank you.
Jacob Murphy from Melfort. And incidentally, if you got a teenager in your household set to graduate high school without much of a future plan, they are welcome to attend. You can go with them to get an idea about what careers are out there and their interactive activities to show youth about skilled trades and technology. So it's kind of like a career fair for everyone, too.